There is a... Jason might have touched on this a little in his last sermon before he left, but I was going to talk today about insecurities because that's been on my heart personally. And then I felt God say last night, I'm not hearing from my people enough. What? Children aren't allowed to leave during my messages. Go ahead. Children can leave. They have to suffer just like everyone else. Just kidding. I hope. And I kind of felt like God was telling me to talk to you guys about prayer. And I'm going to define prayer the way that I like, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But I just think that prayer is a fancy way of saying, I'm going to go talk to God. That's it. And I think one thing, and I forgot to download the skit, it's super hilarious. There's a skit where this guy is talking to Jesus, and Jesus is in their physical, they're like in a coffee shop and they're drinking coffee, and this guy's like, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus is trying to talk back, and he's just like, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes we forget that communication with God or talking to God requires us to listen. You know, I wouldn't just go talk to Jesse. I wouldn't be like, hey, Jesse, what did you think of the Husker game yesterday? All right. That doesn't happen in a conversation because that would be rude. And we're so rude to God sometimes. I think we just don't talk to him the way that we should. We don't listen and wait for his response. And I'm going to get more into that later. So my definition of prayer is just communicating with God, talking to God, having a conversation with him. And I do this all the time. I especially do the place that I talk to God the most and that I hear from God the most is in the car. So if I'm like in a dry spell, and I was the other day, and I just haven't heard from God, and I'm like reading the Bible and I'm getting nothing, I just go take a drive. I'll just go drive somewhere. And for some reason, I can hear from God more clearly. And you might have to find a prayer place like that to hear from God. And that's cool. That's all right. But I'm going to read a scripture here out of James 5. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises, which is praying in song. Go figure. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you. Joe, we're going to get to that later. You, over sick. Anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. And the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be something. What does the rest of that scripture say? It's cut off. Dang it. What does it say? Can you read the rest of it? Healed. That's probably... Thank you. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Sorry about that. No big deal. Technical difficulties. I should pray about that. There's a lot in the scripture, and it goes on to say, and it's got cut off, but it's talking about Elijah, who was a man just like you and me, who prayed that it would rain, prayed that it wouldn't rain. I want to talk about that a little bit, and then I'm going to get back to some of the other stuff that this says. Don't move on yet. Jeez. Elijah, when he was praying for it to rain, the Lord told him to pray for the rain. And so he got down on his knees and he started praying, and he sent his servant, "Go over to that cliff and see if you, tell me if you see a cloud." And the servant went and he came back and he said, "Nothing." He said, "All right, I'm going to keep praying. Go to the cliff, come back, tell me if you see a cloud." Nothing. So Elijah said, "All right, I'm going to keep praying." And he says, tells his servant, Elisha, he says, go to the cliff, tell me if you see a cloud, come back and tell me if there's a cloud. And he does that 7 times. And finally, Elisha comes back and he says, "There's a cloud the size of a man's fist. That's it." And Elijah's like, "Woo, we did it." And I think that's just so cool to me that he didn't give up. He didn't give up when he was praying. And a lot of times when we're praying, we stop when we don't see what we think we're supposed to see. You know, because a lot of times, I'm going to be quite honest with you, if that were me in that situation, God said, "Why don't you pray for the rain?" And I said, "Dear Lord, make it rain." If it wasn't thundering, I'd be like, "Well, I tried." You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't know what that was about. Maybe that was an obedience thing. Well, am I going to be blessed later for that? I tried. I gave it my all. And the way that Elijah prayed just, and he was a man like you and me, the Bible says. He was no different. But the way that he prayed was intense. So there's different kinds of prayers, obviously. You know, there's interceding when you're praying for somebody else. There's praying when you're trying to figure out what you're doing with your life. And then there's prayers that you pray because God tells you to pray. Just flat out, God says, "Do this, pray for this," because, you know, this hoo-ha about God doesn't need us or whatever, that's untrue. And if you read your Bible, it tells us that we're plan A, and that when we do what God wants us to do, stuff starts happening. You understand? And so sometimes the most powerful thing we can do is pray what God wants. Pray God's word. Pray what God is telling you to pray and watch him work. But it takes more than just, if Elijah had just been, "Lord, send a thunderstorm," and walked away, we don't know what would have happened. But we see Elijah believing God and praying out what God told him to pray. And then when he got something that probably wasn't expected, he was satisfied. A cloud the size of a man's fist. I'm going to break something down for you guys real quick. How crazy it is that that was enough for him. Did you know a fog cloud the size that would cover the city of Seattle contains 1 cup of water? How much water do you think was in a fist-sized cloud? So he's praying, he's doing what God's telling him to do, and when he gets an answer, even if it was different than what he expected, he believed God. And then it rained. So the power that we have access to is unfathomable. But it requires something of us. It requires our obedience and our attentiveness. I'm going to go 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19. "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." I'm going to focus real quick on verse 17. never stop praying. Never stop praying. Pray unceasingly. Pray with reckless abandon. Pray as if your life depended on it, because it does. So often we think, we put prayer in this religious box, I think, sometimes. I do it myself. You pray before dinner, you pray before bed, you pray at the altar call at church, and that's, you know. Never stop talking to God. Don't stop. Don't quit. And I can tell you from personal experience that when you quit talking to God, things start getting jacked up. Amen? My wife can tell you that when I quit talking to God, things get jacked up. It's all my fault. And this is the kind of prayer, this isn't, when it says never stop praying, you know, we have the kind of prayer where you simply just listen and pray what God is telling you to pray, whether it's intercession, whether it's for whatever, okay? And then you have this kind of prayer where you're just hanging out with God, where you don't stop, where you don't leave his presence. And in this kind of prayer, you get things that are unbelievable. You get revelation. You get God's presence. You get so many things that you would be missing out on if you just prayed before dinner and at bedtime. This is the kind of prayer that builds your relationship with God. This never stop talking to God. This is where you learn what his voice sounds like. You ask him questions. And I've told the youth group this before, but in this kind of prayer, the never stop praying kind of prayer, the unceasing kind of prayer, I probably look like a weirdo. Because I'll be driving in my car, because that's where I hear most clearly from God. And I talk to him like I would talk to any other person. But he's invisible, the Bible says. So I'm like, Lord, this is, what do you think about this? You know, what's going, and I use my hands when I talk to people. And so I'm driving in the car, and I'm pretty sure there's been one or two people like, there's nobody in the car with him. What's that guy's problem? I probably look like a Looney Tune. I realized that. I was hoping nobody would catch. Can we edit that out of the recording? But that's the kind of prayer, God loves that, man. I read my wife's diary one time, journal. She let me. And it was so cool. It was a journal entry from when she was 15. And her journal entry started with, "Hey, what's up, Jesus? I just wanted to tell you about my day. I know that you were there and stuff, but I just like talking to you." And that's that kind of prayer. "Hey, what's up, Jesus?" I think in one of those entries, she's like, "How are you doing today? What's going on with you?" I don't think we ask that question enough. God, how do you feel? What's going on in your day today? Can I hang out with you? Lord, do you need a hug? You know what I mean? God has emotions. God, the toughest things that we go through is multiplied for God, because he's feeling it right along with you guys. And God just wants our affection. God wants us to love on him. That's that kind of prayer. God, I just love you. You know? We don't do that enough. If it's a relationship, why do we ignore that part of it? And yes, God is our Father. God is our King. He is our Lord. Jesus is everything. And yet, this is the kind of relationship he desires with us. How's it going, man? What's going on with your day? Can I just tell you how much I love you? That's what God really wants. The other stuff is important, you know, But the reason God made us is so he can have a relationship with us. And so if we miss out on that, you're missing out on most of the reason why you were created. You understand? And so I think I probably had the next scripture cut off. Nick, can you turn your Bible to Daniel 10 and bring it to me? I just read them off the slides, and if it's cut off, then that's not going to work for anybody. You know, I talked about a little bit about waiting for God to answer back. And a lot of times we're impatient. And a lot of times we, if God's not talking to us right now, if I'm not hearing from God, then I'm just going to give up. And you can't have a conversation without a response from somebody. It's not a conversation. God does not want to be talked at. He wants to be talked to. And when you talk to God, he wants to answer you. You understand what I'm saying? He wants to talk back. He wants to tell you what's on his mind. He wants to tell you what to do. He wants to give you understanding. And in order for him to give you understanding, you have to be patient enough to wait for his response. And there's the perfect example of what I mean in Daniel chapter 10. And I don't know what translation this is. What translation is this? This is King James. Okay, I'm going to try and get through this. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. What that? The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He was fasting. That's what he was saying there. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was, I don't like this one. This one here says on April 23rd. And that's my birthday, so I like this translation better, just so you know. I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris. I lifted my eyes and looked and beheld a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl. I don't even know what that means. His face like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of the multitudes. And I, Daniel, alone saw this vision, for the men who were with me did not see it. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me. And I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on my palms of my hands. And he said to me, Daniel, man greatly beloved by God, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking these words to me, I stood trembling. Then he said, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But I was held up by the prince of the kingdom of Persia for 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the later days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. I believe this is Jesus talking to him, and I believe that Jesus is saying, you prayed, and I heard you, but there was something holding me up. You see, Satan is the prince of this world, or the king of this world, the god of this world, the Bible says. And sometimes, when we're trying to hear from God, we get impatient. And when God is trying to talk to us, sometimes we let Satan distract us, and so we're just hearing earthly noise, and God is trying to yell over that, and we're not hearing. And sometimes the message is being withstood because we have allowed Satan a foothold. And sometimes there's just some junk going on that we have to be patient for. Sometimes there's something going on in the spiritual realm, and we can't see it, and we will never understand it, and we cannot move until we hear God's voice. And this is what's happening to Daniel. He waited for God. He fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. And God showed up. And so, you know, this is convicting to me, because we'll give up after an hour, a minute, a couple days. Well, I just didn't hear from God, so I don't know what to do. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we're just looking in the wrong place. God's over here like, hey. But sometimes there's something holding up the message. I don't know why. I'm not even going to dive into why, because it doesn't matter. It happens. And we need to be patient. Otherwise, we're going to miss out on something important. And so often, and Jason's talked about this, so often Satan will try and cut the communication line between you and God, and that'll just throw you into a panic, tizzy, whatever, and you start freaking out. And so you cannot allow the line of communication between God and you to be cut. You have to wait for his response, however long that takes. I met a kid one time. This is wrong on so many different levels, but he said, I'm not going to believe in God. I said, why not? And he said, because I prayed for him to give me something one time, and he didn't give it to me, so therefore he doesn't exist. Well, what did you pray for? How long did you pray for? He's like, well, I prayed for a whole week straight that God would give me an Xbox, and he didn't. Okay. The last thing I want you guys to understand about prayer and about talking to God is God isn't a lottery or a quick fix pill. When we're praying, when we're talking to God, the reality is it should be all about him. There's the aspect of God healing our lives and touching us and doing stuff for us and blessing us, because that's who he is. But the best thing you could do with your prayer life is make it about God. Talk to God. Wait for his answer. See what God wants to do. See what God wants you to do. Listen to him. Be patient. If you're just out to pray for stuff, to get stuff from God, he's not going to answer that prayer. Or he's going to say no, which is an answer to the prayer, but we don't like that answer. God, can I have an Xbox? No. God's not talking to me. So I challenge you guys to examine where you're at. What's your prayer life look like? What does it look like when you're talking to God? And it doesn't have to look like the way that my conversations with God go. You don't have to be in a car. You don't have to be anywhere that you know, it's between you and God. Lord? I'm going to pray for you guys now. Okay. Heavenly Father, Daddy, you are so good to us. And you have done so much for us. And all that you want in return is for us to love on you. God, the best thing for our lives is to make our lives completely about you. Every aspect, totally for you. And as we pray, as we learn how to communicate with you, as we talk to you more, and we shouldn't even have to learn, it's just natural. It's just a conversation with another person who happens to be everything. That's what you want. You want a relationship with us. I don't know why, because we're pretty jacked up sometimes, but you do. And it's so cool. It's so awesome. And I just thank you that you have chosen to love on us. That you've decided that you're going to talk to us. That we can hang out in your presence. This a minute in your presence is more amazing than anything else on this planet. So I pray that we would find that this week, this month, this year, the rest of our lives, that we would find out how close we can get with you. How much we can learn and benefit and enjoy your presence through prayer, through hanging out with you. And I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed, I guess. That's weird to say. Have a good day. I guess look to your neighbor and talk to them.